Ken Hitchcock's out, Mike Yeo's in, and I know the one thing he changed was the defensive system. They went away from man-to-man, back to zone, and that obviously seemed to help the team, and more specifically, Jake Allen. Is it that simple? What else has been different under Yeo?
A couple of things. First off, you're getting saves, and I think a big part of it is the defensive structure. I mean, they were way more aggressive under Ken Hitchcock, but people need to remember, and including a lot of people here in St. Louis, to be honest with you, that the Blues were the top defensive team in the league for about 5 years.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously they got away from them a little bit this year. I think the players have to take some responsibility in terms of what happened under the course of Ken Hitchcock. It wasn't just about the coaching. But you got to give Mike Yeo a lot of credit. You know, listen, they play an old-school approach. To me, it's almost hockey 101, Jason, where you always have one defenseman in front of the net. You make defending the front of the net a priority. They pack the house, if you will, which, of course, is the area from the top of the slot on down to the goal. And, you know, they block a lot of shots as a result. They're not giving up a whole lot of second-chance opportunities as a result of their defensive structure. And the goaltender's seeing the puck, and he's making saves. That's a big part of it. Another issue that's led to the Blues having some success here, Jason, is the fact that they're scoring the first goal in a lot of games here, including their last five that they've won. They've scored the first goal, which is huge. That allows you to get into your structure. You're not chasing the game. You're playing a much less riskier game. And as a result of that, you're not giving up odd-man rushes. You don't see 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s coming down your throat nearly as much, if at all, but nearly as much as what you saw the first half of the season. So those are a couple things that have changed. They've called up some different personnel from the minors, guys like Kenny Agostino, who was, played a couple of games with the Calgary Flames early in his career before coming over to the Blues system. Ivan Barbashev, a former second-round pick of the Blues, has gotten a taste of the NHL. He got the game winner last night in Detroit. So, again, different personnel, different style of play. And the most important thing is a whole lot of energy under a new head coach. We've seen that in Boston with the New York Islanders as well. This is not unusual. And real quick, you go back to when Ken Hitchcock took over for Davis Payne. I mean, the Blues were under 500 at the time. They ended up winning the division, and Ken Hitchcock won the Jack Adams. When Davis Payne took over for Andy Murray, the team had some juice. He ended up getting a contract extension out of it. His only head coaching gig in the National Hockey League. And when Andy Murray took over for Mike Kitchen, who had taken over for Joel Quenneville, the Blues went on an incredible run and almost made the playoffs that year, only to make the playoffs the following year. So this isn't all that unusual to see a team have a burst of energy and play some improved hockey following a coaching change.
Yeah, Andy, you're absolutely right. Although I still want to stop on Jake Allen a little bit here. His last five appearances starting with the day after Hitchcock was let go, 933, 969, 1,000, 900, and 963. Previous to that, and I know it's part of the systems play, Allen had 14 or 15 games where he was under 900 in his previous starts. He's obviously gotten better as well.
Well, there's no question about it. And I talked about goaltending a little bit there in terms of them getting saves now. And Carter Hutton, and this guy is 7-2-2 in his last 11. And I want to say he's got four shutouts in there, including last night's shutout in Detroit. But Jake Allen is the guy. He's the guy now. He's the guy in the future. Carter Hutton isn't threatening Jake Allen to be the number one guy here. I know some people are trying to make this out to be a competition. And to be honest with you, you know, Carter Hutton's one of those guys, I don't think he really wants to make this a competition. Not to suggest he doesn't want to play every game, but he fully recognizes why he was brought here. He's not compensated as a number one. He's never been a number one in his entire NHL career. And he does a real strong job in supporting the number one goaltender, like he did for Pekka Rene and like he's doing now for Jake Allen. But Jake Allen's, you know, play has improved drastically. I mean, listen, what was going on prior to Mike Yeo taking over was, it was just crazy to see, you know, in a way to see him melt down in front of your own eyes. And I think Martin Brodeur deserves a lot of credit now. Now, he's taken over as the goaltending coach. He's also the assistant GM. The Blues fired Jimmy Corsi, who was the goaltending coach. And ever since Martin Brodeur took over the goaltenders, I mean, we've seen their play be turned up several notches, just, not just a notch or two, but several notches just in terms of how they're playing. So, you know, I don't want to get all technical from a goaltending standpoint, and I hardly can, to be honest with you. I never played the position, and I don't know the position that well, but you watch the way they're playing right now, the way they're absorbing pucks. You don't see a whole lot of second and third chances, like I mentioned. They're square to the shooter. They look confident. They're at the top of the crease. I mean, all the things you talk about when a goaltender is playing well, and that's what you're seeing right now from Jake Allen, who's 4-1 in his last five, by the way.
Andy Strickland joins us from St. Louis. The Blues are rolling once again, Andy. And I always felt it was a real long shot for St. Louis to trade Shattenkirk because you only have so many opportunities to win a Stanley Cup. And St. Louis is a team, even this year, even though they've been off to a disappointing start, were considered one of the Cup contenders. And now they're inching their way back into that conversation. Do you think they just hold pat with Shattenkirk, and if they lose him, they lose him like other teams have lost, and they make a run and they look to add other pieces rather than subtract? Or do you think there's a chance they would move him in the next 13 days?
Well, I can tell you this. Doug Armstrong does not want to lose Kevin Shattenkirk and not get anything in return. I mean, we've had that discussion that happened last year with David Backes and Troy Brown. I think the question you have to ask yourself internally is, do you believe you can beat the Chicago Blackhawks and or the Minnesota Wild in the first round? And if you think you can, then you got a decision to make. If you don't think you can, then I think the obvious decision is to go ahead and move them and get something in return. You know, listen, the asking price is very high right now, as it should be. And the Blues would love to get a player back in return who can help the team now. But in order to do that, you may have to find a partner that Kevin Shattenkirk is willing to sign an extension with right now. And there have been two or three opportunities where he could have done that, and for whatever reason, they weren't able to get a deal done, and the deal never happened as a result. And so that's where we stand right now with Kevin Shattenkirk. I do think that the Blues internally, they respect Kevin Shattenkirk an awful lot, just in terms of his ability, how good he is, what he brings to the table. I don't think this is just my opinion, but if you were to move Kevin Shattenkirk, I don't think internally the Blues would say, now we have no chance of competing, or now we can't go as far in the Stanley Cup playoffs if we don't have Kevin Shattenkirk on our roster. I think they still believe that this team is a very good team, even without Kevin Shattenkirk. They've got other players on the roster, specifically on the back end, who could maybe take on more responsibility, additional responsibility, in the absence of Shattenkirk if he does get traded. So, listen, it's not an easy decision for Doug Armstrong. He's not looking to give Kevin Shattenkirk away. There are half the league would probably line up right now to get him as a rental, but we all know that the value you're going to get in return isn't going to be as high if you can't find a team that Shattenkirk's willing to sign with right now. And obviously, the closer and closer we get to the trade deadline, the less likely it becomes that Shattenkirk signs a contract extension with the Blues and then gets traded and they do a sign and trade. So, listen, I'm just as interested as you are and everybody else who's paying attention to this to see what happens. But it is interesting. I mean, listen, Kevin Shattenkirk is getting a lot of headlines, certainly a lot of interest in what happens with him. I thought Doug Armstrong put it perfectly at his press conference when he fired Ken Hitchcock, saying last time he checked, Kevin Shattenkirk isn't the only future unrestricted free agent. There are a lot of other guys out there, but it's interesting how many eyeballs right now are on the Blues defenseman.
Obviously, he's a commodity that's going to draw a lot of interest. Andy, I wonder, it's been a short stretch since Yo took over. How much are things changing in Armstrong's outlook in terms of heading toward the deadline? This looked like a team that was in a little bit of disarray, at least from the outside, based on results, kind of hanging around, but clearly they seem to be on the right road now. Does this change Armstrong's approach going into the deadline at all of maybe adding a piece or two?
Well, I think that's the question. It's not about whether or not they're going to move Kevin Shattenkirk. You know, will they look to add a piece? Now, it's not going to be, you know, the big splash.
No.
You know, like, I don't think Duchesne's coming here, for example, you know, just in terms of what the price will be to get a guy like Duchesne. Although, you never know. I mean, things can always happen. I don't want to say never, but, you know, obviously the price of getting a guy like Duchesne is going to be very, very high. But could they look to add a player to give them some depth You know, Doug Armstrong didn't do a whole lot last year at the trade deadline. Some were critical at the time, and the Blues ended up having their longest run since, 2001. So, you know, sometimes you don't have to make a move, but it wouldn't shock me. And I think if the Blues continue to play at the level that they're at right now, then they're going a couple more games before the deadline for the Blues because they have their bye week coming up. They've got three games between now and the bye week, and then I think there's two games after the bye week before the trade deadline. So there's not a ton of time, to be honest with you, to evaluate where your team is at. But if they continue to win games and Doug Armstrong feels like he can patch up a hole or maybe even two by bringing in a player from the outside, I don't think he'd hesitate to do that at all.
What do you think the Blues need most? Like, what's the – with Paul – is the Paul Stastny injury, A, how serious is it, and B, does that change what they need?
You know, I don't think it's very serious. I think they're being a little cautious with this, as they should. It's a different injury, but it's an injury that he's sustained in the past in terms of the body part that has been injured in the past, so I think they want to be careful with that. I saw Paul this morning, talked to him for a little bit. I don't believe this is going to be a long-term situation. They came out and said that pretty much right off the bat. Now, they needed a centerman, which is why they put him on IR. He's eligible to come off IR at any point in time. But they needed a center, which is why he's placed on the injured reserve, you know, in the first place. So it's not about the significance of the injury as much as it is the significance of the position needing a centerman up here on the NHL roster. So, you know, I would expect him back. But you look at the Blues right now, I mean, if they can get a centerman, to be honest with you, who maybe increases their overall team speed because they don't have a whole lot of speed up the middle. If they're able to do that and look at a player who can improve their play up the middle, that was something this team had been talking about really all season long. Maybe adding a third line right winger, a top nine right winger, although they've gotten some good play now out of Kenny Agostino, who's come up from Chicago, who has really played well. And we'll see if he's able to sustain that level of play. But if they can get a top nine winger and even potentially a top six center, if you're looking to add a player, those are two needs that we've really been talking about all season long around here.
Andy, one last one. Oiler fans curious. Nail Yakupov getting any traction, or has Magnus Pajarvi jumped ahead of him?
Well, Pajarvi's come in and played real well. And I think he has jumped ahead of him, at least over the course of the last week or so since he's been recalled. Now, you know, Yakupov's going to play tonight. Scotty Upshaw is not going to play. It's a back-to-back situation. They want to get some fresh legs in there. And, you know, Yakupov's in a tough spot. He's been given an opportunity, don't get me wrong, to play with some quality players. This is a difficult situation for him, I think, being on this team. I always say the most difficult thing to do in the National Hockey League is to be a consistent, impactful player on a contending team. You know, that's not always easy. It's easy to be a good player on a bad team, but to be one on a contending team obviously presents a little bit of a different challenge. He's got a great attitude. I really like Nail Yakupov. It's always interesting when you don't know a player and you just see him from afar. You create your own perception of who that player is. And he is a great, great guy. And he doesn't complain. He works hard. You watch him skate, you know, on the you know, in between games when you have just a handful of players out there and you see the way that he works and, you know, the passion that he has for the game and the attitude that he brings to the ice, I think has been refreshing, to be honest with you, based off of maybe some things that you hear about him. But for him to, you know, become an every-game player, you know, on this team, he's got to make a difference and have an impact when he gets the opportunity. And I think up to this point, he hasn't necessarily been able to do that, at least consistently.
Andy, quickly, when you look around the Western Conference right now, who do you think is the best team?
Well, I think it's a great question, Jason, and I've said this on numerous occasions, that I think this is the most wide open the Western Conference has been in several years. I don't know who really scares you out there. You know, Chicago and their pedigree and their history of winning Stanley Cups, obviously, I don't think anyone's raising their hand to voluntarily play them in the first round. Minnesota's unproven. I mean, they have a great team, don't get me wrong. You watch them play, I mean, they look like they're the real deal. But, you know, for a lot of people out there, they may need to do it in the postseason like St. Louis did last year before you become a believer. So I think there are some question marks there, and question marks on their defense. They've got some really good forwards, and they're a fast team. Again, who's volunteering to play against Minnesota? Well, not too many teams, but I don't think they scare a ton of teams. And you look out west, you know, San Jose appears to be the best team in the Pacific. And, again, I think that division is pretty wide open in terms of who can come out of there. I mean, Edmonton is creeping, obviously, unproven, but they've got a really good team to go along with Anaheim and San Jose. L.A. is obviously in the picture, but I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. I just think it's wide open. I don't see one dominating great team that you say right now, like maybe a Washington Capitals on the East, that you say is head and shoulders above everybody.
Andy, always great to talk hockey with you, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Have a great day.